Hey everyone, welcome to Seeking What They Sought. I'm one of your hosts, Sean Lenhoff. In this episode, we all reflect on the conversation we had with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you haven't had a chance yet to listen to that episode, we encourage you to check that out first. In this one, we talk about what we learned from our conversation with Pastor Doug and what areas we still want to explore more in the future. We hope you'll enjoy this last episode of Season 3, and as always, welcome to the party.
Let's take some time to talk about that conversation with Doug Batchelor. Because, for instance, I just want to say this. Obviously, there are a lot more things we could have talked about, maybe brought out, and maybe things that we would have genuinely had really strong disagreements on, and maybe would have been like, no, hold on, I'd actually strongly disagree with that. I disagree with some of the stuff he said, but I was actually also pleasantly surprised at his at least being able to see the nuance behind what someone believes. I don't know. Any thoughts on that? I have a couple things I want to bring up, but any thoughts on that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a thing with time. And I think that's really important too. You know, I'm just going to out us. Like, we got a review on Apple Podcasts that says we go too long. So if you're still listening to us right now, thanks. We know we're long-winded, but you know, to that point though, like there's something about taking time to hear someone. And I know that, as we talked about with Pastor Doug, you know, sometimes they get sound bites of him or a quote, and that happens with anyone, right? That happens in politics, that happens with whoever. And we start forming our opinions about them, and we form our walls. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of forming opinions about a political leader, even a religious leader, based on a sound bite I got. I think the best example is Ellen White, right? Or even just the Bible. Right?
Yeah, all of those Ellen White sound bites that we're getting on social media.
That's right. She did so many podcasts with Uriah Smith. They did this cool podcast back in the day.
Ellen White interviewed by Ben Shapiro.
Joe Rogan. Just Ellen White.
Imagine
Joe Rogan 3-hour podcast.
Imagine that conversation.
I'd watch that.
They would end up talking about psychedelics at some point, and she would have to say her opinion on it. And he would ask her if she watches jiu-jitsu or MMA.
Yep.
Which the answer is
he would ask her about both of those.
The answer is yes to both.
Yes to all.
I already
three.
Know the answer is to yes to all of them. No, but I actually really enjoyed talking with him. I mean, obviously, we'd love to have more time. For those listening, I mean, you can look it up. He's both a full-time pastor. We didn't get a chance to ask him about it. He's a full-time pastor. He's president of Amazing Facts. I mean, he's on almost every day.
Yeah, what a busy guy.
You know, I can't imagine. He's got obviously so much energy to keep doing that always.
Unlike he was a teacher who you really only work. You know,
Jesse, you really want to go down that road? You want to go down that road once a week?
This is a consistent battle.
Because pastors only work one day a week.
Sean, I will drop kick you and throw you out of the ring like WWE. Okay, no, I'm sorry. This isn't Joe Rogan. So there's a few things that I thought was interesting. So for instance, I disagree with... When people were saying that Genesis 1 through 11 are fables, I don't believe that. I do believe that Genesis 1 through 11 is a little bit more... It's more built around these, I don't know the right language that I have, but built around these big thematic stories. You know, for instance, you have two creation accounts, Genesis 1 and 2. Eric, what are you about to say?
Jesse, your mom's listening to this, so be careful.
Jesse is a heretic. Now he's outed.
Exactly. No, I guess you look at it and I think I would be okay with that not being not true, but rather that the specific pieces of every single of that story doesn't have to be the exact thing that happened, for instance. And I'm okay with that. And I think there's nuance to that. But he mentioned that. But I really thought it was interesting about choosing his battles and kind of being able to see the dilemma of being a person in his position. And I'm sure a lot of people feel like there's some stuff he does that is really destructive and that, you know, maybe we didn't call him on it or things like that. But whatever it is, I appreciate the nuance of someone in a position like that where he says something and, you know, there's a lot of like the progressive wing of the church is just like, wow, that's Doug Batchelor. Mm-hmm. He said that thing, you know, like for instance, the baptism thing, but there's nuance behind what he said. Mm-hmm. And then being able to discuss the nuance is a far better conversation than just being like, oh, okay, so that's just what he stands for. He means that everybody needs to be perfect, right? But then the other thing, though, is that the right, the far right, the super conservatives,
yeah,
who then will come back at him with like, you know, you're diluting the truth or whatever. Yep. That's at least it's valuable to hear that and understand that it's a tough position to be in. Trying to be someone who's doing good in the world, you know, whether other people have opinions about it, I'm sure we have our own, but at least trying.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely. I mean, sorry, you go.
Okay, you go first, Anthony.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay, I'll go.
It definitely increased. It definitely increased conversations like this. Just increase empathy, I feel like, and it definitely increases empathy and being able to understand, and just the fact that he is caught in between those two, like he's caught between the far left and the far right, you know, which it seems so much more polarized even now. So, you know, you have there's the like extreme kind of zany far right extremist level, you know, I'm sure they're
zany.
They're on him just as much as the, you know, super progressive side or liberal side. So,
yeah, I would characterize the far left as zany. I would characterize the far right with different words, I feel like. I feel like zany is not the right.
I only said zany because I feel like far right religious people tend to almost always coincide with far right political people. In American politics.
Yeah, but that doesn't feel like zany. Zany feels like an eclectic, colorful picture.
That's true. That's
whereas
fair.
I don't.
Zany, huh?
This is important. This is this an important is really... part of our conversation. Eric, what were you going to say?
Garbage. A couple things. Yeah, I think it's always good to have these conversations because when you actually talk with someone, mm-hmm, and kind of learn their nuanced opinion, you know, it's really hard to say you're completely wrong.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're saying because, you know, the Bible is like such a, there's just so many ways to read the Bible and interpret it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can understand why Doug Batchelor has his opinions are the way they are. Like, it's not like he's an irrational man. Mm-hmm. No, that doesn't mean you have to come to the same conclusion and we can disagree with him, but being able to talk with someone that disagrees with you and learn their viewpoint without the goal of changing their mind, I think is a really beneficial exercise that we can take in all areas of our life.
100%.
I forgot what the second thing I was going to say was.
Well, I'll just say, the reason I asked about the baptism side of things is because that's actually something that directly affects someone in my church who, you know, he's an older guy and he smokes and feels bad about it. He feels like that's a thing between him and God. And I did think that what Doug said was interesting and very true, that if we aren't asking people to reach for a higher standard, like what he said about baptism, like it's either you go for perfectionism, that's one extreme, you got to be perfect before you're baptized, or there's the other extreme, which I think is the left progressive tendency to fall into, which is even my own tendency to fall into, which is, you know, no repentance before baptism is okay, you know, because all the repentance happens afterwards. But talking to him reminded me, no, yeah, John the Baptist does say repent and be baptized. There is a turning away. But I think there can be nuance surrounding what that is. Like, really, it's a heart thing. It doesn't have to be everything, but do you at least have the attitude of heart to turn away from a way of life?
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, so for instance, this guy in my church, he smokes, but that's a big thing, is that message that's being heard. Because I love talking to Doug about that because I heard the nuance behind what he believes. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when I hear that, and I would say this, by the way, I would say this to Doug if we had more time. So I'm not trying to talk behind his back here, and I don't think any of us are. Doug, if you're listening to this, we enjoyed our conversation with you, and we would love to have a longer one. But the basic thing that I would love to talk with him more is that, okay, I love the nuance behind Doug's view on that, but when he just says, no, I wouldn't baptize someone who is smoking, mm-hmm, without the rest of the nuance, then the message that somebody is hearing as a result of that answer, where he's coming with nuance, they're not hearing nuance. They're hearing, oh, if I smoke or if anyone I love smokes, they, you know, they are outside of the favor of God. And that's the problem that I have. I don't know how that changes from his perspective, especially when he's answering so many questions, but that's definitely some of the destructiveness I've seen. Not that my church member heard Doug say that specifically, but the attitude, that same type of thing being said, is what has gotten him to where he's at.
And it's one thing for something to be said and to and there's another what you heard. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, you hear someone say something, but you interpret it a different way than maybe even it was intentioned. And even then, maybe it wasn't. But maybe it was intentioned.
But was that Doug's or anyone's fault if you hear it wrong?
Right. So, again, and that's going to happen no matter what. And even what Pastor Doug said, which was, look, there's times you say something that's wrong or incomplete or you didn't say it the best way, you know, and he admitted that he's done that. All four of us have done that. He's just in a very public sphere. And I didn't bring it up with him, but he's probably the most watched Adventist right now when it comes to just like sheer numbers with amazing facts. Yeah. Like he is seen more around the world on a daily basis than pretty much any other Adventist currently alive.
Other than the show Life on the Line.
Other than
on,
six,
on
seven
PBS
time Emmy award winning.
On PBS in Southern California, won Emmys, showrunner Eric Edstrom.
Airing primetime on Wednesdays. Check your local listings.
Narrated by Lisa Ling. Okay, good commercial. We're getting paid for that, right, Eric? We're getting money for that.
Yeah, Eric, you better negotiate some payment for us.
$10,000 per word?
I'll see what I can do, boys.
50,000 yen, please.
That feels like a useless thing to us here in America. 50,000 yen. So the other thing I will say that I thought was a very interesting thing he said, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this more, but he said people scratch where it itches, and I thought that it was interesting that he was talking about. If someone feels like people are being hurt. Yeah, if someone feels like people are being hurt, then they're going to make noise about that. And if someone feels like truth is being compromised, people are going to make noise about that. I think that's actually a key thing that we're both sides of Adventism, politics, all this stuff, we miss that. That like there is something to a conservative saying, hold up, I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. Like I have concerns about that. Like, can we talk about that? Whereas I think a lot of conservatives don't hear the other side, which is like, why do you think so many people are making so much noise about racial reconciliation? Because there's something there. This isn't all made up. But then at the other, all the progressives are looking at the other side, like, well, why won't you get with the program? It's like, well, we have some concerns about some of the things that are being said or how they're being said or what the implications of if we did that, this is what happens. And so that is quite, I thought that was a, that was a good perspective.
I agree. And I think like as he was talking, I could tell. And again, I really love that conversation and I really appreciated Doug's just like humanity and humility and his openness. And it was a great conversation. I did definitely notice areas where I think I fundamentally see the Bible and theology differently than him.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. Just to take his own principle, just like, because to me, like, that's not the hill I care about if I'm just wanting to hear him and like get to know him and listen to where he's at.
What do you mean by that? What's not the hill?
Just like the areas where I think I would see the Bible differently, you know, in a sense. And I think he was really diplomatic in some areas. And I think he handled our questions fantastically and answered them well. But I do think there are definitely areas where, you know, like when it came to race, he was just like, you know, well, the close people in my life know where I stand on that topic. And I think that's an admirable stance, you know, like to know that, to just have close people in your life who know the real things about you.
The word is pronounced admirable.
What did I say?
You said admirable.
Admirable. I'm Canadian, so.
Jesse.
Yeah, that's Canadian pronunciation.
Jesse. Sailor.
Get out of here.
See, I'm not that. Oh, I'm
anyone who
not
doesn't
as...
know, I had a verbal stumble one time, and it happened to be filmed.
It wasn't one time. It was like 10 times in a row.
It was like a real life glitch.
Look how
it's one event. I tried to say seasoned sailor, and I said seasoned sailor,
veteran,
like six times in a row, and I have never been able to get away from it.
And look how good of a
Eric
friend
Eric and Sean
I
made
am.
A remix video of it. Yes, thank you. You are the good friend. I'm sorry for correcting your grammar because you've been such a good friend.
We're gonna put that link to that remixed video in the show notes.
No. Yes, please. Episode. Can we do that? But anyway,
absolutely.
Anyway,
what were you saying, Anthony?
Yeah, I felt like, you know, and of course, I think a lot of it was the constraints of time, just that we didn't have time to go deep and talk more about that. But I think, you know, when it comes to those issues, I was like, okay, I probably, and just from watching him, I probably think racial reconciliation and social justice is more important than he does in the scheme of the gospel, which is fine. It doesn't make anyone better or worse.
Well, I guess maybe a more accurate thing to say would be, you think that publicly addressing it from either a pulpit or as a church is more important.
I think
maybe that's what I'm saying.
I think I agree with that. I think I also agree with my statement. I think I don't think that he thinks racial reconciliation and social justice are key elements of the gospel. And I think I would say they are. And I feel like that's fine.
But that's the thing, though, is because, you know, we just had this conversation where it's like, oh, I'm surprised by some of his perspectives. Mm-hmm. So I find it interesting that you're immediately judging his perspective on it.
No,
I'm saying that in a in a funny way, and but also not in an attacking you way, mm-hmm. but out of like just that is interesting.
No, I think I'm only bringing that up to say, I could tell that I think there are some. Here's what I'm trying to say. I don't think we really had enough time to actually tease out how fundamentally different the differences are between the sides. I think that's what I mean by that statement. And so that's not me, I guess, judging his position to be less or better than mine, or mine to be better or less than his. I think the differences are deeper than maybe we had time enough to go, and maybe he was able to say or comment on, which is fine.
So what I just heard was Anthony spending 2 minutes saying that you disagree.
With him? with Jesse or with Doug?
With Doug.
I do, but I don't think that's the point. I think my point is that, like, I don't think we really had time enough to tease out how fundamentally different the differences are, because I think the differences are maybe greater than he was able to say. And I don't know if that's and I don't want to box him in and say I don't think he knows that. I think he probably does know that. I just think we didn't have enough time to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I said maybe this is a more accurate thing is because I think that a lot of people do care about, like, we don't want racism. We want people to be reconciled. The difference is in how that happens and how vocal we ought to be about it. That's like, I see that's a key difference. And then there also is people who just don't, you know, they think all of it's garbage, and, you know, so I'm not trying to diminish the differences.
Yeah.
But the reason I say that is because I think that is a key thing to talk about, because, for instance, Anthony, knowing you, judging you as I will right now, you care deeply about addressing an issue, like, verbally with your words as a pastor. Hey, here's, you know, I don't have to have a hot take on everything, but this is a deeply spiritual, meaningful thing in our country.
For sure.
I need to address it. Whereas I think a lot of people generationally, or even just political views or religious views or what they think is important, would say, that's not the thing that I should address, or that I can address, or that I think is as important as, say, we just need to preach the gospel.
For sure.
And that's the big thing that we do. And so that's, I think there's an importance around that, because what if many of us agree around racial reconciliation? We want it. We don't want racism. We want it to heal. But then we disagree about how public we should be about it. That's an interesting conversation, I feel like. Because maybe we're not so far apart. Maybe we aren't. That's just what I'm trying to say.
I agree with that. I think. Sorry, am I cutting you off? You cut out a little bit.
I have 17,000 more things. No, go for it.
I agree with you. I think you're right on, and I think we're saying the same thing essentially. But I do think the key is that if we do care about it, I think the key is that I don't think I'm the spokesperson for any group, but I think, to play devil's advocate, from maybe the spaces that I inhabit and people that I know and on the left or whatever, I feel as if that perspective would say, like, a part of truth and the gospel, capital T truth, is racial reconciliation. And I don't want to box him in. Maybe I would be surprised by his perspective on that. But my guess would be, from this conversation and from hearing him in the past, that he wouldn't say that. That he would say that they're separate things. That truth is the three angels' message, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That those things are disconnected. And so that's gotcha. How fundamentally different I think the sides are. And that's what I think we weren't able to talk about.
I think. Truth is such a hard concept to come to agreement on, because mm-hmm. it's easy to be like, all right, we just, whatever the truth is like what'll win out. But when you fundamentally disagree on like what the truth is within, yeah. just think within yeah. the church, right? Like
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, for example, the Women's Ordination thing, like both sides are like, so we're so passionate about it, and I guess still are, but you know, it's not like the object of discussion right now. I don't know. It's really tricky as a denomination to try to legislate unity, you know, like I don't mm-hmm. know if you can legislate unity. Like I appreciated what Doug said about really, I think kind of his answer was just focusing on the fundamentals of the gospel and Jesus and following Jesus' example, which is easy to say, but it's much harder to do, especially yeah. on a macro scale mm-hmm. as a denomination.
Well, because of what you just said.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said. Because if we see truth differently, then part of the yeah. truth of the gospel is, you know, racial reconciliation to a, you know, to a large number of people. And yeah. part of the truth of the gospel is staying away from what they see as overtly political or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the denomination by structure is kind of democratic, like you said. And so I don't really know, I don't have the answer, like, how, I mean, I guess, you know, there's my opinion, but it's, I don't know how you address that from a legislative church denomination
side. I think the answer is, and actually we should probably talk, I've been meaning to talk about this with us as a group, is I think that we need to each of us assign maybe like a union or something that disagrees with Women's Ordination, and we need to go and talk with them and convince them that their lives are in danger if they don't vote for Women's Ordination.
I knew this wasn't real. I absolutely knew. You tried so hard, but I knew it wasn't real.
I thought you were going to say, like, we pick a representative from each union, and then they battle, like, the Hunger Games, and then whoever wins.
Jesse doesn't care enough about that process to
to talk about
it. I'm just saying,
if you want to legislate unity, if you want to legislate unity, then yeah, we just have a Hunger Games potentially. I'm going to hop onto Eric's idea. We have a Hunger Games, and then by the end of that, whoever's left, you know, is probably going to be on the same side because at least a side won, and then we'll have unity. It makes sense. Like if you think about it,
if we just
negate the other side by combat, by combat.
I hope that the church structure, the GC specifically, moving forward, makes room for disagreements within the church. Because right now, I feel like, especially a few years ago, that was basically the line they drew. Is like, there can't be disagreements within the church worldwide.
At least about this specific thing.
Yeah. Like, and
or other things like it.
I hope that as a church, we can move towards an area of more understanding that, you know, there can be disagreements. We can still be Adventists, and we can still, you know, yearn for the same ultimate mission of, you know, spreading the gospel and building the kingdom of heaven, and that, and not labeling each other and dividing ourselves.
I agree with that. I love what you said, Eric, about allowing room for disagreement. And you guys know I tend to be a little more cynical and not as hopeful when it comes to different sides agreeing. And I feel like maybe that perhaps...
Is that because you're Canadian?
It's because I'm Canadian. That's the reason why. No.
Actually, Anthony, I'm curious. You could say that, but like, isn't that potentially... Because I am very cynical too, but like, isn't that potentially one of the reasons that we become even more divided? Because we're like, oh, there's no way we could ever be united. And so therefore... we get cynical about it, and then we characterize and portray the other side as this specific thing, and then we become less hopeful that they... Like, I have been more... Like part of the conversation with Doug is, like, wow, there's actually stuff we agree on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe, of course, there's stuff we agree on, but it's a different thing to have a conversation with someone and be like, oh, yeah, no, I could at least agree in part with that. There's definitely a lot of stuff we see similarly, and having that conversation humanizes them and allows us to, you know, actually go beyond... just characterizing them in a certain way. But what it also does is kind of gives you hope that maybe there is more that we could kind of unite around. I mean, part of the problem comes if we feel like people, like for instance, women's calling to ministry is just it's not a thing. Like, God can't call you to ministry. Mm-hmm. That starts to become hard because, like, you're literally negating an entire gender's relationship with God. So there's definitely real, like, we don't see eye to eye on this. But I guess I'm just, you brought up the cynicism, and I think, I wonder if that's part of the reason that we push ourselves farther apart.
I agree. I agree that cynicism isn't maybe helpful, and I do think that is the reason why conversations like this are really helpful, because they do lead us to better understanding. But I think it only helps us if we're honest about how fundamentally we disagree in the first place. Because I think if one side is coming and saying, like, it's essential to the gospel that we reach out to our LGBTQ+ marginalized friends, and the other side is saying it's essential to the gospel that we tell them they're living in sin so they can be saved, that's such a fundamental break and difference.
Sure.
We can come together on that. No, we can come together on that.
Right, so
we just reach out and tell them they're in sin. That's it. Exactly. That's all we do. We do both. We reach out and we just...
So I feel like to have actual a productive moving forward, there has to be... Let's be honest about how different where we're actually coming from. And then can we...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know we've got to close, but I... Just kind of as I close these thoughts, you know, one thing we didn't ask him directly was, you know, is he optimistic, right? We were talking about how we feel cynical. We've talked about that before. One of our first episodes was looking at church government, looking at these issues and saying, man, what is going on? Is this really a good move? And we were kind of discouraged. We started this podcast in a way kind of discouraged with some of the things, the way that things were.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't our intention. We're not trying to be down on the Adventist church. We're still in it for a reason. We believe in mm-hmm. so much of the mission of this church. So, but with all of that, you know, I still, even though we didn't directly ask him, I could tell he was optimistic with his approach. He is optimistic, and he's someone that's been in this, like he said, for 40 years. And he still has that, even with
I don't know. I don't know if I get the same vibe.
I mean, I did. I mean, I know he's obviously talked about there's a divide, but he seemed to be hopeful in the way that I, at least the way I listened to him, it sounded like he was hopeful for our church and what is most important, what matters. And what I got from that, whether you're conservative or liberal, the punchline is we need to be talking more together. And COVID has accentuated this problem of being divided. And, mm-hmm. with social media, with politics, we've just divided even more. And so it does concern me, right? There is that cynical side of, man, it's only going to get worse from here because we're not in person. We can't have these organic conversations.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to relentlessly pursue connection with people that we disagree with. And not just people we are with. Yeah, we need our tribe. We need the people that we agree with, those connections, the people that we relate to. We need that. But
community.
we need to pursue.
That's good.
Disagreements.
That's
and
really good.
And just in full disclosure, this group of friends we have here, we disagree on certain things when it comes to politics, when it comes to even religion. But that has
if
pushed
Sean
us.
Should be part of the group or not.
Yeah, that's right. That's all it's been. You formed a Sean Lenhoff compliance committee, and it's about literally just getting rid of me.
Exactly.
So
that's all I've ever wanted.
But really, again, as we kind of close here, it's looking at pushing all of us and all of us that are listening. I do encourage us, because I'm naturally cynical too. It's easy to overthink and think, man, this is never going to work out. You know, forget this. We're too diverse of a church. It's too polarizing of a time for us to heal anymore. But if we do believe in that power of the Holy Spirit, and that he's moved and done way crazier things than bring a couple people that disagree on certain things together, we've got to trust that's going to happen. And we've got to stick ourselves out there. And I think that Pastor Doug mentioned that, like, there's a certain level of vulnerability. Like, you just got to stick yourself out there and not be afraid of what people are going to do to scrutinize you. And he's done that. So if we may disagree on a lot of things with him, one thing I respect is he's not afraid to put himself out there and push that. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, we've got to take note of that.
Relentlessly pursue connection with those we disagree with. That's tweet.
That was a good line.
That was great, Sean.
A surprisingly good line coming from you. Eric, Eric, any last words?
No,
this is not serious. This is what is something that you want to say at the end of this? That has maybe something to do with the episode, maybe nothing to do with it. What are just your last words that we can leave everybody with?
I was just going to say thanks to all listeners for tuning in to this episode of Dougie B and the Boys.
Heck yeah.
And that's a wrap for season 3 of Seeking What They Sought. We want to thank all of you for listening, sending us feedback, and continuing to encourage us to keep this conversation going. We're already excited for season 4 and can't wait to share with all of you what we have planned. Keep checking out our social media pages during the off-season for news, interactive polls, and maybe some other surprises as well. And, as always, we want to thank our 100-time participation award-winning producer, Eric Edstrom, for, well, at least doing his best to make us sound good. A for effort, Eric. Keep trying. Again, thank you all for listening to Seeking What They Sought.